sit back, stand idly by, watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns, don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me, don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free, and I damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Come, gonna take a stand, spread these words all across the land, from sea to sea, don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends, gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns, don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free, and I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. Third and final hour here on this Thursday, January 8th, 2026 edition. Well, if you're into college football playoffs, the national championship game is going to be on Monday, January 19th. Going to be down in Miami, Florida. And it is going to be 7:30 p.m. on ESPN on January the 19th. But to get there, there's two semifinal games, one tonight, January 8th, and one tomorrow night, January 9th. Now, tonight's game on ESPN as well has number 10 Miami versus number 6 Ole Miss. Both of them surprise winners over higher-ranked teams. Well, that game tonight is Thursday, January 8th at 7:30 on ESPN. Now, the real game that I'm interested in is tomorrow night, Friday night, January 9th at 7:30, Indiana, number one Big Ten champion, going up against number 5, Oregon, the Oregon Ducks. This is going to be a phenomenal game. So I don't think Oregon can beat Indiana. I think they go to the national championship game, and either Miami and or Ole Miss, I'm sorry, they don't have a chance. So I'm saying that Indiana wins tomorrow night against Oregon and then goes on to be the national champion, number one in the country, beating Ohio State and destroying Alabama. They absolutely destroyed them, 38-3. Mendoza, the quarterback, Heisman Trophy winner, phenomenal kid. Great talent, cannot wait to watch the draft next year. If he decides to go into the NFL draft, he's going to be a phenomenal quarterback to watch in the NFL. Great arm, throws absolutely perfectly, spiral balls on target, and the kid can run. Phenomenal pocket passer, but when you come in on him, you blitz him, he can escape. He's Houdini, and man, he can run. The kid is fast. So it's going to be an interesting game tonight. The more interesting will be the game tomorrow night. ESPN 7:30 tomorrow night, number one Indiana against number 5 Oregon. So, and if you like college football, faster, quicker game than the NFL, I highly recommend tonight's game at 7:30, but really recommend tomorrow night's game. My pick is Indiana goes all the way, and they end up winning it. It's going to be very, very, very interesting. So we'll see. We'll see where this goes. One of the things that we're looking at also is the NFL playoffs and how this is all going to play out leading to the Super Bowl. Well, NFL Sunday Ticket, just so you know, running it through YouTube, has the ability to let you see the games even though they'll be on the networks. They lowered the price for the subscription down to $4.99. Trying to eke out all the money they can out of the playoffs.
And now this from Northern Michigan RV.
Hi, I'm Tony Kessering from Northern Michigan RV in Galen. Get ready for a new adventure with help from Northern Michigan RV. We sell everything from pop-ups and truck campers to luxury fifth wheels, and we have everything to keep you going, including parts, full service, and even propane. And we're open year-round. Don't buy anywhere before stopping into Northern Michigan RV. Off 32 on Expressway Court behind Walgreens and Gaylord. Online at northernmichiganrv.com. Get ready for a new adventure at Northern Michigan RV.
Hey everybody, it's Trucker Randy, the Yo-Yo Diet King. I have literally lost hundreds of pounds in my life. SlimFast in the 90s, Nutrisystem in 2000, South Beach, Superfoods, they all worked in the short term, only to gain it all back, plus some. Now that I'm 65, I really wanted to find a program that would increase my metabolism to burn my belly fat, bring my hormones back to my younger days, without any exercising. Then I met Missy, a MyPure Health Solutions. She explained how her program does exactly what I was looking for. Go to TruckerRandyHealth.com. Follow my journey with Missy and see that I dropped 22 pounds of body fat in the first 14 days without exercising and eating real foods. Again, go to TruckerRandyHealth.com and schedule a free consultation or call Missy at 269-964-4044. Let Missy change your metabolism just like she's changed mine. Do it today.
Hi, my name is Monica Yatuma. I've spent my career in the private sector, fixing broken systems and delivering real results. When there was waste, I cut it. When there was failure, I demanded accountability. And when problems got tough, I didn't back down. Now I'm running for Secretary of State to bring integrity, efficiency, and common sense back to Michigan government and to protect the trust in our elections that voters deserve. I'm experienced and I know how to get things done. My promise to you is conservative leadership that you can trust. This message has been paid for by Monica Yatuma for Michigan.
This is Justin Michael. From day one, our campaign has been about one thing: people, the families, workers, veterans, small business owners, and communities that make Northern Michigan and the Upper Peninsula home. I'm running because too many people in Washington have forgotten who they serve. I've spent my life advocating for others, listening to their stories, and fighting for solutions that put people first. Our district deserves a representative who shows up, cares, and follows through on what they say they're going to do. It's time to start putting Americans first and Michigans first. Paid for by Justin Michael for Congress.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. Second segment, hour number three. A couple of text messages coming in. Chip says, as an ex-Oregonian, I hope Indiana embarrasses the Ducks. They need to be humbled. Oregonian. That's interesting. And Greg says, I agree. Indiana all the way. Yep. So Big Ten champ. And I just like the coach. I don't know if you guys saw his first press conference when he was announced to be the head coach of Indiana football. And the one reporter said to him, well, Indiana has been known over the years as being a basketball school, Indiana Hoosiers. Bobby Knight, that whole legacy of what he did regarding college basketball. Well, he looked her right in the eye and said, yeah, well, I'm going to change all that. Indiana is going to be known as a football school. And the reporters kind of half laughed at him, almost chuckled. And he said, you don't understand. I win. Google it. Look it up. Research me. I win. And that's what he's brought to this program. And I got to tell you, man, these players responded. They bought in 100% to what this coach was selling. And, man, they are a family. These guys are tight. They love one another. They block for one another. They are just amazing guys. And one thing else that I've noticed, and this is something you see a lot of teams do this. Indiana, especially, their running backs, they hand off the ball. Mendoza hands off the ball to the running back, and they run their play. And if they get tackled, there's not one or two guys. There's like three or four that run over and pick up the running back. These running backs spend absolutely no energy getting up off the ground. Their teammates are there to pick them up. They just literally bend down and pick them up and just lift them right up under their feet. It's a slight little technical thing, but over a full game, you run the ball 25, 30, 40 times, whatever times you do, and most of the time you don't score, you get tackled, you spend a lot of energy getting up off the ground. And it's something that he has put into his players, into his coaches. This is what you guys do. A receiver goes down, they throw a pass and he's tackled, you get over there and lift him up off the ground. Kind of an interesting thing I've noticed. Just notice it when you watch the game. Again, tomorrow night against Oregon. It's going to be interesting. I'm going to move on, get away from, I could talk about sports all day long. I love college football, especially college basketball. Yep. Actually, the Detroit Pistons are doing really well in the NBA. They're in first place in the, I believe, the East Division. And the Red Wings, they're doing well too. So Detroit sports is doing really well this winter. One of the other stories that kind of caught my attention out of Lansing. And this story is kind of interesting. An attorney says journalists denied ability to report the news. The Attorney General's office disagrees. A journalist who was denied the ability to report on the case of three men charged with aiding the 2020 plot to kidnap and kill the governor. His attorney told the appeals panel yesterday that he was denied the ability to report on the story. Assistant Attorney General Adam DeBere disagreed, telling the Michigan Court of Appeals that the videographer, Eric Van Dusen, had been at the Jackson County trial every day, recording the testimony, exhibits, and he sought, actually, by getting them via a public records request. I don't think it's appropriate to argue that the department prevented him from publicly reporting on a trial that he personally attended and videotaped. Presiding over the case, Judge Mark Boonstra, Judges Colleen O'Brien and Adrian Young will issue their opinion very shortly. However, Van Dusen, the actual videographer, submitted two Freedom of Information Act requests, requests back in 2022 seeking information from the Attorney General's office used during the preliminary examinations for the three defendants accused of providing material support to plot to kidnap Governor Gretchen Whitmer. A court of claims judge held earlier this year that the Attorney General's office cannot redact personal information except Social Security numbers from any documents publicly displayed in the prosecution's case. The judge denied Van Dusen's requests for civil fines as well as attorney fees and costs, which prompted this appeal. The attorney, Frederick Nielsen, who represents Van Dusen, argued that his client should have received attorney costs because he received the redacted documents as a result of his lawsuit, therefore making him the prevailing party. Nielsen also argued his client was denied the ability to conduct full discovery in the case. Well, the Attorney General, Assistant Attorney General, disagreed, arguing that discovery in FOIA cases are rare, and taking depositions of an assistant prosecutor as Van Dusen wants is discouraged because it intrudes on the work product as well as the attorney-client privilege. The three Jackson County defendants in the case, Paul Bellar, Pete Mazzucco, and Joseph Morrison. They, the three, were among 14 men charged in the state and federal courts in connection to the kidnapping plan. They were convicted following a jury trial and subsequently sentenced to prison. Of the 14 conspirators, four took plea deals, five were convicted, and five were acquitted. The five that were acquitted, well, two of them were from Antrim County, my home county. So, very interesting story, very interesting lawsuit, as now it goes through the appellate court system. Another short story, former Michigan Public Service Commission law judge is fighting to keep his law license. A former administrative law judge serving a prison sentence for charges related to internet child predator Sting proclaimed his innocence as he's fighting to keep his law license. When an attorney discipline board member asked former Michigan Public Service Commissioner Christopher Wolf if an attorney rightfully convicted of child sexual abusive activity should be disbarred, Wolf replied, "I don't believe so. No." Wolf, who testified virtually from the Central Michigan Correctional Facility in St. Louis, Michigan, continued with an arguably rambling answer, questioning the entire legal system before clarifying, "I do not believe that I should automatically be disbarred." The panel, led by the Attorney Discipline Board Chair Harvey Wax, did not make an immediate decision as to whether Wolf should face discipline, including disbarment and losing his law license. Back in August, a jury convicted Wolf, who is a father of two sons, ages 8 and 14, of child sexually abusive activity and accosting the children for immoral purposes, as well as using a computer to commit a crime. The 45-year-old was sentenced the following month to 40 months to 20 years in prison. Wolf's law license was automatically suspended upon the convictions, and yesterday's hearing was to determine what, if any, discipline he should face regarding his law license. Wolf had received his license for law back in October of 2015, and he told the three-member panel that the headlines claiming he had child pornography were inaccurate. He did describe himself as a man with a sex addiction, which led him to post sexual images of himself online to receive praise and fulfill his sexual addiction. Wolf said he repeatedly met women online. While he would agree to meet with them in person almost on every occasion, he left them waiting for me in public places. He never showed up. Wolf said he got in legal trouble, however, when speaking on Reddit with a person he believed was 18 years old. He said he agreed to meet with her. My intentions was to stand her up and return home, as I had done with many other women in the past. Basically, he was in a sting operation and didn't realize it. However, he said as he was driving home, he received several messages leading him to believe the woman was distressed. So he turned around and went back to help the woman, which he noted was proven by his vehicle's tracking system. The evidence, he said, however, was not presented at his trial. He was denied seeing a message indicating the person he was speaking to was allegedly only 15 years old. He argued that there was, in fact, no activity or porn on my phone supporting these charges. I was incarcerated for a crime I didn't commit and will spend the rest of my life dealing with the events of that night. Well, the administrative judge asked Wolf how he could guarantee his behavior would not be repeated if he doesn't receive therapy in prison. Wolf replied that he spent 2 years in therapy and has been reading about sexual addiction and trauma while in prison. I say this with all due frankness. I'm not doing any of that for you guys. I'm doing it for myself because I don't want to be the person I was before. And again, I did not commit a crime. While another attorney on the council, Michael Mazur, is on the Michigan Attorney Grievance Commission, said that Wolf violated professional standards by his inability to maintain personal integrity, which is part of their code of ethics. Mazur said that he's not sure whether or not suspending a license or disbarment is warranted, but in Michigan, disbarment does not mean permanent. He could always apply for his license to be reinstated. Wolf choked back the tears and acknowledged that he should have known better, admitting that his conduct was not just unbecoming of the profession, but was unbecoming as a father and a husband. So we'll see what they decide on this, whether or not he's going to be disbarred. Final half hour of today's show.